From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Coming up, how is the obesity epidemic in America affecting relationships?
But first, with just a day to go until the Scottish referendum on independence, two separate polls indicate it's going to be a frantic 24 hours. Both show the no campaign at 52%, yes at 48%. With a margin of error, that's a tie. NPR's Ari Shapiro is in Edinburgh. And Ari, what is it like on the ground there?
It's been very exciting. We were just walking to dinner last night and ran into yes voters who were chalking in front of a bagpipe player in the middle of the Royal Mile, which is the center of Edinburgh, kind of a quintessentially Scottish scene. But wherever you go, there are bumper stickers that say no thanks. There are signs in the windows that say yes, Scotland. People feel that this is the kind of vote that comes along not once in many years, but once in generations. And whichever side people are on, there is a palpable sense of excitement to be a part of it.
Well, it sounds as if it's fevered, but I have to ask, chalking?
Chalking, writing slogans in chalk on the sidewalk, a popular tradition at college campuses that has extended to Scotland for the independence referendum.
Well, we understand that the Prime Minister of Britain, David Cameron, other members of Parliament visited to make some last-minute pleas. We know they are completely united in wanting a no vote. They offered more to Scotland if it stayed. What was offered and how was that received?
The specifics are vague. These offers came after the first poll ever showed independence leading ahead of unity. That was a poll that showed 51% for independence, 49% for unity. And it really scared the political leaders in London into realizing that independence could be reality. So they came back and said, a no vote will not be a vote for the status quo. It will be a vote for change. And we're going to offer Scotland more autonomy and more power to be specified after the referendum. And you have the independence camp coming back and saying, this is a bribe, and if London were serious about it, they would have offered it earlier. But it shows just how tight this has become and how afraid Westminster, the political parties in London, really are that this might not go their way tomorrow.
Well, remind us, for those just tuning in and realizing there's a day to go and we're at the finish line of this, the thumbnail of the stands of both sides. What is each claiming?
Well, from the Yes campaign's perspective, the interests of Scotland are not adequately represented by London. London is a conservative government. Scotland tends to be more left-leaning. Scotland says that the oil and gas money they would get from being an independent nation could keep them afloat economically. They believe they could prosper as an independent country. The No campaign argues that being a small country, going it alone in a big, bad world is not the way to go. And whether you look at the presence of British embassies around the world or the use of the pound or membership in the European Union or NATO or military alliances, all of these things would leave Scotland worse off if Scotland dissolved this 300-year-old United Kingdom that they've been a part of.
Well, and if you just look at next-door neighbors, I mean, we're reading about people who live right next door to each other or even in the same family divided on this issue. How concerned are people that no matter what way the vote goes, it's going to wound?
There are two ways to look at that. One way is, yes, people feel passionately and divided, and it's going to be a close vote, and people are going to wake up after the vote and find that half the country lost and half the country won. But the other way to look at it is to compare it to independence movements around the world that have been so contentious, they have been violent, and there have been refugees, and there have been people killed. And viewed from that angle, what's happening in Scotland is really kind of an exemplary model of democracy at work. The fact is, whatever happens after this vote, it won't be the same. A yes vote will start years of intense, difficult negotiations on how to separate these two countries that have been bound together for so long. And a no vote will bring a new relationship between Scotland and England that also has yet to be determined. And so whatever happens, this vote is the beginning, not the end of the story.
Well, and there hasn't been much international backing for independence. And yet here we have this Alex Salmond. He is the man behind the yes vote. He is described as someone born into the working classes who moved this issue from the fringes. You know, people thought it was just crazy, to the cusp of history, as it's being written today. He might play a big role in an independent Scotland.
you're right that the global community has not been very supportive of this independence movement, partly because big business doesn't like change. The world likes to depend on borders being more or less where they've been, and that Alex Salmond really has ridden this wave, this tidal wave. He's the head of the SNP, the Scottish National Party, which for many decades was viewed as a fringe party, which sort of took everybody by surprise, winning the Scottish elections in 2011. A referendum on independence had been part of their platform basically forever. And so when they won in 2011, they said, all right, well, I guess we better put this independence referendum on the ballot. And nobody expected it to pass. In the history of Scotland, there had never been a poll showing independence in the lead, except now here we are. The polls are virtually tied and nobody's sure what'll happen.
NPR's Ari Shapiro in Edinburgh ahead of tomorrow's referendum on independence. Ari, lucky you to be there. We'll talk to you then. Thank you.
Thanks. Talk soon, Robin.